Turn to John chapter 1 for our thoughts this morning. I'll try not to be long-winded, but I'm not going to guarantee you're going to get out of here at 12 o'clock either. Chances are you're not. Well, you know you're not. Who am I kidding? But I want us to look at a passage. Isn't it amazing how God always, Brother Ciro, initiates when it comes to salvation? He's the one that initiates. Man's not capable of it, but he initiates. And I want to share a portion of scripture that just shows that, and it just thrills my heart. Let me just say this. The Word of God is made up of great invitations. Lots of invitations in the Word of God. But this is my favorite invitation. So is everybody in John chapter 1? Let's begin reading with verse 35. And again the next day after John stood, and we're talking about John the Baptist. After John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. In verse 32, "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house with your people. Thank you for those that have gathered here to worship you. Father, we brought our petitions to you. You've heard the prayer requests. And Father, we just leave them in your hands, and we just pray that your will be done with each of these requests. Now, Lord, we come to the breaking of the bread of life. Thank you for the songs that were sung. Get us ready to worship you, your word. I thank you for the special. But now we just pray your blessing on the breaking of the bread of life. Give me the words to say. Bring to my memory those things I've studied and you've laid upon my heart to proclaim this morning in your word. And Father, I pray, be one here today that knows not Christ and the free pardon of sin, that this will be that day that they receive Jesus before it's too late. Thank you for everyone gathered here, be with those that's not able to be here due to illness. And Lord, may it be said when we leave your house this morning, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Have your way in our hearts and in this service. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. Now, John the Baptist had been baptizing in the River Jordan, and we find two men that we are referring to here is Andrew. We read that. We found out who he was. But do you know who the other man was? It was John, the writer of the book of John, the writer of 1st and 2nd John, the writer of the book of Revelation. It was John and Andrew that were there. Now, they had a keen interest in knowing about the Messiah. Now, listen, John made it plain. He wasn't the one that was promised to come. He was a forerunner, and he was telling them what to look for because the Messiah was one day going to come. And by the way, he has come. And when John and Andrew were there, guess what? He showed up. And let's begin in verse 35. "And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples," notice they were following John the Baptist. It says in verse 36, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God." Now, I want you to look at that word, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. The. What that word means significantly is this, that John the Baptist is proclaiming to those two disciples and all that was able to hear him. Behold, the one and the only Lamb of God. Amen. He proclaimed that Christ was the one and only. There wouldn't any other but Jesus. Now, understand with me. Man has a problem. And that problem is sin. Now, a lot of people don't like to admit they're sinners, but the Word of God tells us that we're sinners. We inherited a sinful nature from Adam and Eve in the garden. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin's death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Galatians 3:22 says, and I'm going to turn over there so I don't misquote it, because I'm sure I probably would. Look at what it says here. Man has a problem with sin. Look at what verse 22 says. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But what is the Word of God concluded? All are under sin. Amen. So man has a sin problem. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the solution to that problem. But listen to me. There aren't many solutions. There's only one solution. And it comes by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Jesus came into the world to die on the cross. And it's only through His sacrifice on the cross that God is appeased. It's only through the blood He shed on the cross that you and I are able to what? Receive cleansing from our sins. But there's no other Lamb of God. There's only one Lamb of God. Remember in the garden, the animal that was slain to cover up the nakedness of Adam and Eve? The Lamb. The very first offering that took place in the garden was a lamb, because Abel offered it and God accepted that as good. He accepted his offering. Remember, it was a lamb that was offered for the children of Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt. It was a lamb. Remember this morning when Abraham took Isaac, his son, up to Mount Moriah? And do you remember Isaac's question? Father, where's the lamb? Well, Jesus Christ is that lamb. And He is the only one that can deliver you and I. He is the only one that has a solution to our problems. You see, our sin complicates things because it separates us from God. And it also sends us to hell. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the solution. And I know there's people out there today searching, wanting answers. What's life? What's the meaning of life? What? The Lamb of God's the meaning of life. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Amen. Now, notice with me. Looking upon Jesus, He walked and He says, "Behold the Lamb." And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. And beloved, I want to tell you something. There is nothing greater than following the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, I followed lots of things in my old life before I met the Savior. And they never brought peace. They never brought contentment. But when I truly met the Lamb and started following Him, that's when I began to have peace and joy. It always bothers me when people say they've met the Lamb. They've been saved. They've been redeemed. They've been to the altar. They've been baptized. They've joined the church. It's always bothered me when the FBI couldn't find them if you turned them in. Amen? Where are they? If they're who they are, they say they are, if they've truly been to the Lamb and been saved, guess what? They'll always be where Jesus is. They'll love the church. They'll love the Word of God. They'll love praying. They'll love telling others about Christ. They'll love having that intimate relationship with the Lord. It's always bothered me. You say, well, Brother John, you can't judge. I'm not judging. I'm just saying I'm watching people. Your actions, you don't have to say a word. I don't have to say a word to you. It's all about your actions. If you love the Lamb, you'll be following the Lamb. Amen? Now, notice. When Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek thee? What seek ye? Let me just say, Jesus already knew what they were seeking after because He knows everything. He's omniscient. But it was for their benefit that He asked them, what seek ye? What are you looking for? There. We'll break it down in terms we can understand. Oh, I don't understand the King James Version of the Bible. It's so hard. No, it's not. No, it's not. But people say it is. Oh, I need the NIV. Throw that in the trash. Non-inspired version. Amen. You need the King James. Well, I need the new King James. I'm not going to jump on you because it is King James, and they've removed the thous and the these. But listen, you need the King James Version because it's the authorized version of God's Word. It's the inspired Word. I won't get any more because y'all throw rocks at me. What are you looking for? Is what He asked them. Now listen to me. If they were looking, Brother Ciro, for someone that would take away the yoke of Rome, they were looking for the wrong person. If they were looking for someone that would make them feel good about themselves, they were looking for the wrong person. They were looking for someone to have a little religion on Sunday, make them feel better about the way they live Monday through Saturday. They were looking for the wrong person. But if they were looking for someone that could redeem them, someone that could save them, that could cleanse them from all sin and give them eternal life and give them abundant life, then they'd come to the right place. And my question to you this morning is, what are you looking for? Only you can answer that question. What are you looking for this morning? I'm here to tell you, if you're looking for Jesus, He is the one that can supply all your needs. But listen to me. You don't come to Him just because He can. You come to Him because you're sincere. And if you've got issues, He can handle those issues. You say, well, I've tried Jesus. I've tried the church, and it didn't work. He didn't work. That's the problem. You tried. Wasn't because He didn't work, you didn't work. You see, you put your full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll save you. He'll take care of it for you. You know how many people I've heard in 32 years tell me, I tried the church. It don't work. Well, it won't work. You got to have Jesus in your heart. Amen. Notice. What are you looking for? What seek ye? And they said, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master. That's very polite. Master. Where dwellest thou? Where do you live? But listen, it was more than, where do you live? You see, the Lord knew what they were in search of. And he knew that once he got them to the place where he could sit and tell them who he was and where he came from, then they would desire what he had to offer. Beloved, that's the way it ought to be with us when we share the gospel with folks out there that don't know the Savior. See, we got to get alone with them, and we got to find out what it is they're looking for. And then we've got to share Christ with them. And sometimes we have to go above and beyond. Sometimes we have to put forth a little effort. Now, Baptists don't like that, putting forth a lot of effort. Amen. I will be honest. I'd rather the fish just jump in the boat. It's a lot easier. But I'm here to tell you, they don't always jump in the boat. Sometimes you got to cast and cast and cast. But I'm here to tell you, though, when that person does receive Christ and you notice, you see the change, you can't help but want to tell somebody else. Amen. It's such a great feeling. Where do you live? And he said unto them, come and see. What? An invitation. Come and see. Come on, follow me. And then they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the evening. And by the way, back then, it was not only dinner time pretty much, but it was time to retire. You were done. But it was the 10th hour. And they not only began to converse with the Lamb of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, but they weren't looking at their watches or looking at a clock. They weren't concerned. I believe with all my heart they ended up spending the whole night, Brother Ciro, till the next day, because they had lots of questions. There may be some of you this morning that have questions about the Savior. I can only tell you what I know by personal experience. He's real, he's the real deal, and he is your solution. No matter what your problem is, but I'm going to tell you, all of us share the very same problem. It's called sin. And in order for our sin to be forgiven and us reconciled to God, we must place our faith in the Lamb of God. You see, that's why I came. Now, notice, and it was about the 10th hour. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, I want to say, these two men, John and Andrew, when they followed the Lord, notice with me, they were curious about the Messiah that John the Baptist had proclaimed was coming. These men had not experienced grace yet. They weren't saved until the Master reached out to them and explained who he was. And let me just say this. The way God set it up was, yes, he initiates through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and begins to convict our heart. And a lot of us don't like conviction because it hurts. It's not pleasant at times, especially when we've done some bad things, because it's time to fess up and get right. And it shows us just who we are when it comes to our relationship with God. Just lost sinner headed to hell. But listen to me, even though it's unpleasant, the greatest thing that can happen to you is when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart for your need for Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, I'm telling you, that's when you know salvation's fixing to come to your house, because He starts dealing with you. And I'll go ahead and say it. Except the Holy Spirit draw you, you can't be saved. You can't just wake up one morning and say, I think I'll become a Christian today. Man, if that was the case, I'd have done that years ago. But I'm too hard-headed and too ignorant. It took me 26 years to wake up and realize I was lost. But listen, that's because God began to work in my life. And He began to work in my life through people. Amen? People that already knew the Savior. You see, John the Baptist knew the Savior. He knew his cousin. But he knew his cousin, yes, in a family way, but he knew Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. And now he's sharing the Messiah that's promised to come with others. So I'm thankful for all those others that knew the Lord before I did and shared the Savior with me, because they planted valuable seeds in my life. Now, notice, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I want you to understand, as they dwelt there in that 10th hour where the Lord was, he began to share who he was. And right then, and right there, an act of grace took place. You see, they were wonderfully and marvelously saved. How do I know? I'll show you. First of all, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, took the gospel to Greece. You know what happened to Andrew? He lost his life. In fact, he was crucified upside down on a cross that looked like an X. So, if salvation didn't take place, then he died in vain. But you see, he never died in vain, because he knew who the Lamb of God was. He knew what he had waiting for him. Amen? He may have lost his life, but he gained eternal life. John, the other, the one whom Jesus said is one I love. See, it was John in the upper room at the Lord's Supper that put his head upon the Savior's breast. It was John, when Jesus was arrested and taken before the chief priest, that was there. He wasn't like the others and ran out of the garden. He was there. It was John that was there on Golgotha when Jesus was crucified and died. And it was also John who was the first one that ran to the empty tomb and looked inside. And it was John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, that penned the book of Revelation that was there. You see, these men would have never followed the Lamb of God if it was fake. They were saved. And I'm here to tell you, when Jesus saves us, we know it. Amen? And we can proclaim it. Now, look at what Andrew. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. What did he do after he got saved? What was the first thing he did? He went to tell his brother. You see, he had a desire to share what he had found in the Lamb of God. And I'll ask you this morning, don't you have the same desire to share with your family members? You should. Amen. See, Andrew, thing about Andrew's this. Do a life study on him. You know what you'll find? Every time you find Andrew mentioned in the Scriptures, he's always bringing somebody to Christ. Amen. Think about that. What a legacy. I would love for that to be my legacy. When the Lord calls me home one of these days, it'll be said by, you know what? He was always bringing somebody to Jesus. That couldn't be a better compliment to a man of God. You see, that was Andrew. He went to Simon Peter, his brother. Now, I want you to understand, this was Peter before he was saved. He was an old salty old dude. Amen? He was a sinner. He'd cuss and rant and carry on. You see, he was all about fishing. He was all about the world. But yet his brother ran and said, "We have found the Messiah." And guess what? They got him to Jesus. Beloved, it's about getting folks to Jesus. Amen. No matter how bad of a sinner they are. See, I think it would do us good to look in a mirror sometimes and remember what we looked like and who we were before we came to the Savior. Amen? Because I think if we did that, we wouldn't be so judgmental. Amen? I'll be the first to tell you, I get aggravated. I see people want to kill and take the innocent baby's lives with abortion and all that. I get angry. I do. I'm honest. How can anybody do that? You got to be sorry. But you know what? The Holy Spirit says, well, you were sorry once too. And he starts showing me and reminding me of where I was before I met God's saving grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. Kind of makes me think then, I better shut up. Lord, forgive me. I was getting ready today and I was praying, Lord, forgive me. Give this old mind. Give these old thoughts. Give this old mouth. Oh, eyes. Forgive me, Lord. My little old missus goes, he does. I said, yeah, he does. I know. Because that's God's grace. That's God's grace. But notice, he finds Simon Peter. And beloved, I believe he was so excited. I believe he ran to Simon and said, I have found the Messiah. Come with me. I've got to introduce him to you. And then notice what it says. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, and by the way, that wasn't just a little casual glance. Jesus looked into his heart. Just like he looks into your heart and mine. He knows what's there. He knows what the need is. He beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, that word Cephas, it does mean stone, but it's Aramaic. But I want you to notice, Peter, when he met the Savior, the Lord gave him a new name. Amen? Do you know I've got a new name in glory? So do you. You see, I'm still John. I'm still no sinner saved by the grace and blood of Jesus. But I have a new name in heaven. Because I've been redeemed. I have received that Lamb of God, the only solution for my sin. And because I've received him, I've got a new name. Now listen to me. He was still Simon. Jesus still called him Simon, especially when he's kind of angry with him. Amen? Remember Jesus saying, Simon? Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Remember, he denied him 3 times. Simon, son of Jonas. And I'm sure with each time he was a little more forceful. Lovest thou me? And you see, Simon was a stone. And those times that he was strong, and by the way, God used him in a mighty way to start his church. And in those times, he was the stone. Other times, that's Simon, son of Jonah. And I can relate, because there's times in my Christian walk when I should speak up, I shut up. When I should stand up, I sit down. There's times I'm not who I should be. But I want you to understand, the Lamb of God knows me because He's given me a new name. Even when I'm not at my best, that's where grace comes in. That's where mercy comes in. Not because any of us are deserving of it. That's just who the Lord is. Amen. You see, Andrew got his brother to the Savior. And the Lamb of God did something to Simon Peter. And that was, he changed his life forever. And I'm just going to tell you, if you're willing to come to the Lamb, I don't care what you're looking for, don't care what you're going through, He and He alone can handle it for you. Have you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have you recognized Him as the Lamb of God? The one and only Lamb of God. Not many lambs, only one true Lamb. Because it's only the Lamb that can get you to heaven. It's only the Lamb that can take away your sins. It's only the Lamb. So this morning, if you're under the sound of my voice, you've tried everything. Believe me, before I met the Lamb, I tried everything to bring me peace and contentment and joy. I had none of that. I was the most miserable man on the earth. I had tried the things of the world. Alcohol. Never did drugs, but I did alcohol. Did other things I'm not proud of. Thinking they'll give me that peace. They'll give me that joy. Worked in the oil fields. I made some pretty decent money. I used to think money would bring me peace and contentment. Didn't have none of those things until I met the Lamb. So if you're trying for the things of the world to satisfy, let me save you some trouble. It won't. I don't care what you try. It's not going to do what the Lamb can do for you. So come this way. You're here this morning, and you got problems. We all have problems. There's nobody here that don't go through problems in life. He didn't promise it was going to be easy. It's hard. Life is so hard. I mean, I have my mountaintop experiences, but boy, I also have a lot of them valley experiences when I'm as low as an old snake on its belly. But listen to me. Even when I'm down and I have nowhere else to look but up, He's there. And He reaches down. He's a Lamb. Have you experienced